What you do? There we go. What you doing? One, two, three. What you doing?
Of people in need on the paper.
Putting pictures of people in need. And so I see that you're putting it inside some letters. What are those letters?
N-I-N.
And what do they stand for?
Neighbors in need.
And how do you figure out who the neighbors are that are in need? It's a trick question. Who wants to help them? See, they're all chickens. None of them raised their hand. Do you see that? Yeah. Why do you think some of these folks are in need?
Because they don't have money or food.
They don't have money or food, and if somebody doesn't have money or food, then we should help them? All right. For those of you who are new here or just visiting, I want you to know that everybody at this table is after my job. Because every week they have better answers than I do. However, it doesn't mean I don't preach. I think Aaron's messing with me this morning. There was something this morning that I think we all missed. I missed it. It's the part where Jesus said, "Well, if you can't tell me, then I'm not going to tell you either." That's good material, and nobody laughed. Do you get that? Do you realize that Jesus was a comedian? He had to have been, because he worked with a lot of people who didn't quite get it a lot of times, right? Didn't quite understand what was going on. And so he tells this parable, and in this parable, he does what? He pulls the wool out from under the and says, "Look, those who you think are going to go to heaven, those of you who think are doing the will of God are not the actual ones doing the will of God. Those who say, 'I'm going to go do it,' and they don't, but those who say, 'I'm not,' and then they do, that's who's doing it." Would you agree? I know, that was a ridiculous summary, but the bottom line is I wanted to speed by that because something else came up this morning that I wanted to talk to you about. Today is a Neighbors in Need Sunday. It is one of the 5 for 5 missions that we contribute to for the United Church of Christ. Okay? The kids are over there making a poster of people who may be in need, who identify as our neighbors in need. And the question that they had a hard time answering, and I didn't see any hands to help them, by the way, is how do we determine who the neighbors in need are? Right? That's a tough one, wouldn't you say? It's tough for me, and I'm going to explain why. Last night, we had a great concert here. Last night, we had a Native American singer and dancer, and it was really quite wonderful. And at which point, I attempted to get Jackie and Jerry and Deborah to write my sermon for me, because it was past my bedtime, and I didn't want to do it. And then it occurred to me, because I had already had it done, I had this big, long bunch of information that I want to share with you about these 5 for 5 neighbors in need. How do we define neighbors in need? And you know as well as I do that there's a lot of other things going on in our world these days, yes? And you know, because it is my downfall, I could probably tell you about all of them, right? And then I could get all fire and brimstone-y on you and tell you what it means to be one of the sons that goes off and does the will of God and gets the work done, right? Because I've done that before once or twice. Would you agree? Really? And then it occurred to me that I totally missed something. And the something that I missed is that, dang it, maybe we're the neighbors in need this morning. One of the things that I have not done with you recently, and I apologize, is I've not checked in to see how you're doing. I get here and I tell you what we should be doing, and I give you all the information, you know, with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other, right? And we talk about all the things that are going on with regard to our state of affairs, the state of our union, and how many people are being oppressed, and what social justice looks like, and how we should engage, right? And I know that all of you can quote back to me everything that we've talked about for the past few weeks, right? You're laughing. Why are you laughing, Roberta?
We don't know.
Yeah, see? Because I don't say it just once, do I? Blah, blah, blah. I haven't asked you how you're doing with all of this. I haven't checked in with maybe my neighbors in need and said to you, how are you? Because I'll tell you right now, at the risk of putting someone on the spot, and I don't want to do it, as Jerry was speaking this morning, I could see on the faces of some people how you're doing or not doing with what's going on in the world. I could see how painful it is to talk about things like a football player taking a knee for the sake of racial justice. I could see how painful it is to try to figure out how do we help our LGBTQIA folk. I could see how painful it is because we sit here and we don't always know what to do. Can I get an amen? So how are you doing? How you doing?
Frustrated.
Who said that? Can you say more, Carol? Please.
I'm frustrated with all the negativity that seems to be in everything we do and see, and it's difficult to escape it. Now, I understand there were a lot of wrongs done in the past by all of us, whether we go back 1 year or 1,000 years. But I also believe in the power to move forward and to be a better person and to get over the mistakes that you made, to forgive yourself and forgive others.
Go ahead.
I would have asked the children, are all the things, that, all the pictures you're cutting out people, pictures of people? Are they children or some kind of people?
There's lots of animals too.
Are there some animals?
Yeah.
Because I would have said, because we are people, we are in need. Whether it was in financial need or spiritual need or just inner need. So we're all in need.
We're all in need. Thank you. Anyone else? How you doing? Uh-oh, Pastor just got really personal.
I'm exhausted, fatigued for standing up for what's right, because it's never ending.
Seems like there's no hope, yeah. End in sight.
Sad.
Are you sad? How come?
Because I miss my old home in Washington.
Because you miss your old home in Washington. Okay, thank you.
I feel bad for the people down in Puerto Rico. I'm not a Puerto Rican or even Latino, but I still feel bad that it took 2 weeks for our great president to get help, start to get help to them, and then complain about them.
Thank you.
I'm sad and frustrated for our kids, because when I was growing up, I didn't have to worry about anything like this that is going on. And for our kids, and I'm a school counselor, and so for our students to come in and have racial division. We had a student come into our site last week with a gun who threatened one of our students, and the student that came in wasn't a student at our school. He just came in to check it out to see if this other kid was there. And it's scary because we were on lockdown. I didn't know how long we were going to be there. And knowing that my family was at home and knowing that my girls and all the other kids that are here today have to grow up in this time of chaos is just really, really saddens me.
Thank you. Anyone else?
I don't know if I can articulate this very well, so I'll try. Last Monday, Bob and I went to the monthly meeting of the Volunteers for Inside Out, and there had been some really bad things happen at the new facility. There was a young man who was very angry who came in and was threatening people. There were no guns, but was threatening some of the other kids. The new facility that they're in has some other offices, and during the past week there had been two kids who had gone upstairs and were smoking something up in some of the upstairs bathrooms. So it was very disturbing because they could lose their space. Well, I think about our kids over here and how Claire just said that they were working for your job. Because in our little meeting, we kept thinking about what we could do about the problem. What kind of rules could we set up? What kind of things, screening, could we do? And then what they did on Wednesday, at the Wednesday meeting with the kids, when they check in, they have to say their name, say their pronouns, say their favorite butterfly rule. And then they have to say, they answer after a question. And so the leader brilliantly, evidently, told them about the problem. And they solved it. Friday night was like Camelot. The kids were serving each other pizza. There was enough to go around. They were helping each other with homework. They were inviting us to their band concert. They were with each other. And I just think when we give people the responsibility, they come through.
Thank you.
Different places in my life, I've gotten very discouraged that our first approach isn't anticipating good intentions. That's really big in my head, anticipating good intentions. And this is personified by our 24/7 news cycle, that somebody puts their head down in a meeting and they're immediately called on the carpet for praying in public or not paying attention, or this immediate jump, not to possible good intentions, but to politicizing every little thing. And I don't know how you stop that, but I'd like to see us move to that side more than judging.
Thank you. Anyone else? When we think of people being in need, we often think of tangible items like food and clothing and housing. We don't always attach an emotion to those things, do we? We jump in to solve the problem by giving people what we think they need, not always asking what they need, but assuming we know what they need, so we're going to give it to them. But there's something that we miss that is critical. And what we miss is the pain and the suffering that is happening when they are screaming out, however it is they're screaming out, for something that they need. And when we're talking about justice, racial justice, economic justice, eco-justice, food scarcity, gender identity, queer justice, whatever it is, we don't always ask the question, what do you need from me? But instead, we assume we already know and we already have the solution for the problem. And when we impose that particular solution and it is not taken, we often end up judging. We often end up creating rules that are unnecessary. And we steal empowerment from folks who are screaming out, I need. But we're afraid to ask why. We're afraid to say, what is it you need? And how can I give it to you? Or do you not even want me to give it to you? Because maybe I'm not the one that can help you. When I hand people the mic in here and say, how you're doing, I know darn well you might say something I don't like. That doesn't matter, does it? Because we are hurting people these days. And when we hurt and when we suffer, it's really, really difficult to see where other people are hurting and suffering. It's easier to judge or to jump in and help in the way that we want to. But what's really hard when we talk about neighbors in need, it's really hard to ask our neighbor, well, what is it you need? And then it's really hard not to follow up with, oh, you don't really need that. Or let me tell you what you really need. Or let me tell you how I can fix that for you. If we don't get it, and we don't, our solutions aren't taken, then we tend to get offended, don't we? And there are a lot of offended contingents in our global and local world these days. Everybody's offended. And I would say it's because we hurt. So I would also suggest that as we start talking about or thinking about our missions and reaching out to others and offering in whatever way we can help or think we can help, that we do one thing first. What is that one thing that we do first? Ask. What's the second thing we do? Listen. And the third thing we do? Act. Ask, we listen, and we act. And acting implies relationship, doesn't it? It implies that we will be actively listening, actively asking, and actively problem solving as a partnership, but not because we think it should go that way, but because you've said that's what you need. How many in here have never suffered? Even Bridget over there was talking about suffering as she missed her home, huh? We all know what pain feels like. And so as we're starting or trying to negotiate all the seemingly hopelessness of what's happening in our world, we can either step away because we feel like a walking nerve ending, or we can ask each other, what's going on with you? Are you okay? And then we can sit in the muck with one another. We don't have to fix it. We don't have to say anything. We can just be in that space. And I promise you, if you are in that space with another person who's hurting, here's the weird part. You'll feel better. Not because misery loves company, but because we like company. And we want to be heard. We want to be understood. And we want to be respected and held up. And we want to hold each other. Two stories from the Neighbors in Need campaign. You're all familiar with what happened in Flint, Michigan with the water supply, correct? So in Flint, Michigan, as people couldn't drink their water, they stopped paying their water bills. I wouldn't pay my bill either, would you? Because they had to go buy water. After about 6 months, the city decided, hey, we need the money. They came knocking on people's doors with a notice that said, pay now or we're shutting off your service. 5 minutes later, the utilities came in and shut it off. They did it intentionally so you couldn't run out and get help. Because in order for the water to be turned on, you have to pay at least half your bill. It's a great way to make some money, right? It's like that speed trap down the street. I'm just kidding. There's no speed trap down the street. Maybe there is. I don't know. They haven't caught me. That's the point. And so a church, a UCC, American Baptist Church, said, well, guess what? We're going to apply for a grant, grant writer. We're going to apply for a grant through the UCC to help people pay their bills. And you're like, okay, well, what does that have to do with us, Claire? It's a very nice story, but what does it have to do with us? Well, where do you think they got the money to do that? From Neighbors in Need. And where does Neighbors in Need get their money? From us. Which, by the way, you've already contributed to, so this isn't a plug. Although, if you want to give more, make the check out to Claire, to me. The point is that in the midst of our chaos and despair, you are already doing work towards helping others. And sometimes you just need to know that that's the case. Sometimes you just need to know, wow, we're already in it. Because we can get so compartmentalized, so insular in our pain and our suffering, that we think that we're not having any kind of impact whatsoever. And you, as a small congregation in Colorado Springs, is having a tremendous impact by just the little bit that we offer up. Because you chose to make a decision to say, what do you need? Okay, let me help you with that. I'll give it to somebody who knows better than I what you need. And there you go. So that's the broader picture. But the smaller picture comes back to us as community. The smaller picture is we have to ask each other, what do you need? What is happening in your world? How are you hurting? What can I do for you? Where have you been? How's your family? Why is this bothering you? Why is your opinion so strong about that? How come you're not talking to anybody? How many here feel like they are a neighbor in need? Look around. Oh, keep your hands up. That's where we begin. Let the people say, amen. Amen.